Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. It is a pleasure to bring this show to you. We went to the bullpen, brought in the lefty. I got my guy, David, ready to join the show, making things happen, keeping it going. It doesn't stop for one party. So nope. What's going on, man?
Man, you know, I'm ready to be here. I'm glad to be here all the time. It's always fun to be here to talk with you, TD.
That's
just to
right.
Talk with you.
That's what we do, man, talking with TD. We have a good time. We share some knowledge. We crack some jokes. Speaking of which, we'll be joined by Chris Sanders, as we are every week, forever Titans receiver. And you know that's when the jokes will really flow. Also, special treat for you, we got my homegirl, Sarah Barship, ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter, coming on to drop that knowledge, give you guys some things to think about for the game this weekend. But before we do that, we have to go ahead and circle back to what this Titans team was able to do this past week, week 10, a 23-21 victory over the New Orleans Saints. Defense, defense, defense. That was my takeaway from the game. Jeffrey Simmons continues to just dominate.
What a monster.
Absolute monster. And the thing, I got to talk to him on Wednesday about it, and I thought it was really cool what he said, because I wanted to know what you're starting to see him do is layer his moves, right? And you saw him use that bull rush against the Rams, and he just like, I forget who that left guard was, but he just put his hands on him, walked him back to Matt Stafford, and used him as a prop to sack Matt Stafford.
Yeah, it was like.
So now this week, he knows they saw the power on film.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He shows him his hands and yanks him back. Mm-hmm. And now you have the offensive lineman off balance, and he hits him with a club swim, and that's how he gets a sack. But then another way he got the sack was the coverage in the back end. And I think that's the thing that we need to focus on with this defense, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the front four is dominating. They are.
Oh, they
but
are.
That back end, that secondary is helping to where you're starting to see coverage sacks.
Yeah.
You got a guy in Kevin Byard who route recognition and just pattern recognition, everything. Like, he is superb in that area. And then he has that GPS, right? It's right there in his shoulder pads. Tracks him to the football. You know, I say that jokingly, but that's how he gets to the ball. He's always around it. So you got that. You got Christian Fulton coming back. You know, 43 snaps. Hey, no completions.
Nope.
He was out there. You know, I joke with him, like, how did you manage to stay awake? You know, and he just said, man, I'm always locked in every play because I'm expecting it to come my way, and he doesn't want to, you know, come up short in the rare opportunity that he does get to make a play on the ball. So I think that's solid, but you got that coming. Jackrabbit Jenkins, you know, he's been a guy that everybody's dogging. Well, guess what? He had a pretty nice, heady play coming off of his route, you know, when he saw the ball in the air, and he was there to make sure that 2-point conversion wasn't completed. So I think overall the defense is playing really well. Harold Landry, 10 sacks. We're talking about the first time a guy's gotten double-digit sacks since 2016 when Brian Arakpo had 10 and a half.
That's insane.
This franchise has been starving for sacks. Starving.
Starving.
Absolutely. You got
to
echo that
one.
They're ready to eat. They're eating now. And you look at Landry, between Landry and Jeffrey Simmons, you got 17 and a half sacks. David, you know how many sacks this Titans team had last year as a team? 19. That was the
19?
Third worst ever by a team that made the playoffs.
Oh, my
This
gosh.
Year they got 27. They're in their top 10. I believe it's sixth place. Jeffrey Simmons, 7.5 sacks. To do that from the interior, I mean, this guy's on a tear.
Yeah.
The last two games, he has 5.5 sacks. 5 sacks, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And still, the D-line coach, Terrell Williams, said his best game was the Colts game. But the fact of the matter, I think it was the Rams game.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
what he did there, it was just
3 sacks, also a pressure to force the interception that David Long had. Yeah, I think it was his best game. But I think the fact that you could pull from different games – you know, and say that, you know, hey, this was his best game. That was his best game. it's proven that this guy's having an impact, right?
Exactly.
And I think that's huge. And we can't not mention Danico Autry.
You can't.
Right? Five
a
sacks.
A beast. Every time I tweet about the Titans or if I see the game or I go on our Twitter page to see what's going on, everyone's always talking about him.
Yeah.
Danico Autry. It's always about him. And he's making an impact every time. It's something you love to see as a Titans fan.
Right, especially when it's a free agent, right?
Yes,
because we know free agents have, you know, some of them, Javian Clowney, some of them have, you know, come in and not worked out. But this one is definitely a deal that's working out. And you see Autry playing hand in the dirt like the defensive end and then popping up, playing as a stand-up outside backer, and then even bumping inside. So you talk about versatility. It's really there with him. So there's a lot to be impressed about with that front. That's all the good.
Yeah.
Right. But now let's talk about some things too. And even, you know what? We'll stay with the defense when we talk about some things that need to be improved upon. And the first half was outstanding, right?
Yes.
They held them to six points. The second half, there were a couple drives that, you know, the Saints were able to put together and I mean some pretty significant drives and they scored some points. No sacks in the second half. They struggled a little bit with coverage. Those are some things that have to be corrected, and I think it is an area where they will correct. But I tell you what, Trevor Siemian, he had a couple opportunities to make some plays. Like he helped the Titans. He was a double agent on
Sunday. He was, yeah. He had to
be. He played for the Saints, but he also helped the Titans because there were a couple throws. There was one, it was a third down. Kevin White ran a deep over. And he was open.
Yeah.
You know, and Siemian overshot him just a little bit, but that would have been a big third down, you know, but it ended up they had to punt.
Yeah.
But there were some times where he helped him, and that's something, look, man, you're going against a team, and I get it, right? Mm-hmm. Trevor Siemian's an NFL quarterback. Absolutely. But he is not a top-tier one, right?
Yeah.
He is not a starter, so to speak. But he still had statistically had a pretty good game against them. Most importantly, he had them in position to tie the game late.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those are some things that they have to get together and be stronger on defense because you have to shut the door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a part of shutting that door is not having those three and outs that the offense had in the second half, right? Because there was a period where that defense was gassed, and as a result, you see – you know, the Saints start to pick up yards.
Mm-hmm.
So offensively, you know, the big thing for me is A.J. Brown, right?
And yes.
You know, I smile like that because I love A.J. Brown.
Yes.
Right? I love watching him play, you know. But the fact of the matter is he had one reception for 16 yards.
Yeah.
And he is a much more impactful player than that.
He really is.
And the big gripe, my big gripe with him is consistency.
Yes,
right,
exactly.
He needs to week in and week out show that he is an elite receiver, and you can't disappear like this. Now there was a drop. I get it. He got his hands on the ball. He should have caught it. But I tell you, just as a receiver, if I'm running an outbreaking route, don't put it on my inside shoulder.
Exactly.
Don't put it. You got to put it on my outside shoulder. Let me catch it. Gather myself, turn up field, and get some yards after the catch as well. It was a bad throw.
Yeah.
As I said, he got his hands on it. He should have caught it. But I think what you're seeing with A.J. Brown is interesting because this was something that stood out with Derrick Henry just as far as him being able to have an impact without touching the football.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time where they used him as a decoy on a screen to Deontay Foreman. It ended up being a big gain. I think it was like a 30-yarder or so, something like that. But it was a big gain for the Titans. It was a 39-yarder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't see Marcus Lattimore or Marshawn Lattimore travel with A.J. Brown, you know. So that impact wasn't there. But Marcus Johnson did have an outstanding game.
He did.
Five receptions, 100 yards. And I think his big play, his 48-yarder, that really highlighted some of the play design that I like that I'm seeing from Todd Downing, and it was a slant that he ran. Knowing that Marshawn Lattimore likes to play up, he likes to play up on the receiver. So you had the tight end run an outbreaking route, right, to kind of take his defender with him. Marcus Johnson, former South Carolina running back, went to the 49ers.
Shout out.
Marcus Johnson ran a slant underneath it. And by having that little bit of traffic there, that clutter, it allowed Lattimore, a guy who likes to get his hands on receivers, it caused him to have a little traffic to sort through. Marcus Johnson had the inside position right away. Tannehill hit him in stride, and that 4-3 went to work.
Yeah.
And it was a 48-yarder. So that was an outstanding play, call and design by Todd Downing.
Yeah.
Those are some of the good things. But offensive, hey, man, this running game is – and I get it. I get it. The Saints run defense, 73 yards per game. They're tops in the league. I get that. But I want to see how this Titans team is able to run the football against the Texans.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see how it's able to run against the Patriots, some of these other teams, because – you know, and that's we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah,
but I wonder what Belichick is going to try to take away from the offense, if he's going to force them to run the football. I think that's why it's really important to kind of get some tape, get some good play on tape here, you know, with Adrian Peterson and Foreman and McNichols. Get McNichols involved in the game, right? Your third down back, you hit him out the backfield. I think that's something that they have to get back to. But offensively, like, it's just not clicking, right? And it's not clicking. They're still able to do the play action.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people ask me, well, hey, man, why are they not doing as much play action? Well, I'll tell you why. First and second down, that's the area where Todd Downing has to get better, especially first down, because, you know, you run a play, it gets blown up, you know, it's a no gain, or you get sacked and it's a loss, tackled in the backfield, whatever. Now you're behind the chains and your playbook condenses a bit because – there are only so many plays that you have for second and 15, second and et cetera. So, and there are only so many looks you could do. Mm-hmm. That being said, you work play action on the second and 15. Not too many people are going to, you know, believe that there is a run play coming up so that it won't be as effective.
Yeah.
That's one of the big things. And then the penalties are starting to be corralled. They're not as bad, you know, as they once were, which was really causing them to be behind the chains.
Yes.
So there's a lot to consider. Offensively, you know, for me, I definitely think that they're in the doghouse, quotation marks, you know, after the last two performances.
Yeah.
But you have to understand that they've been good in situations, right?
Yes.
You look at the Rams game, they were 3-for-3 in the red zone. This game, they were 2-for-4 in the red zone. The offense is getting better on third down, so I'm about to look at the percentage here. They're getting better, but against the Saints, they weren't good. They were 25%, you know, on third downs, 3 out of 12. So that has to get better. Situationally, they were average situationally, and that is exactly why that game was close. So that's just kind of a little rundown. Wanted to empty the clip a little bit and share some thoughts with you guys about this Titans team after the Saints game. No more Josh Reynolds. He's down there in Detroit. Next, Nick Westbrook McKinney, one catch, 10 yards. He was targeted once. Chester Rogers, one catch, one target, 9 yards. 4 targets for A.J. Brown, 1 catch for 16. 6 targets for Marcus Johnson, 5 receptions. Hey, Jeff Swaim's emerging too. How about that? Right?
Shout 4
receptions, 26 yards. He's becoming, you know, a guy. And Michael Pruitt, a little fantasy football nugget. Like, if you're in a deep league and you need a tight end to start, Michael Pruitt is a guy that's available. You should probably pick him up if you need a tight end to start. Now, that's only if you need, like, you have both you guys in the bye week, et cetera. That's a guy to look at because he'll get you one of those touchdowns. You know, 11 receptions, 3 touchdowns.
Ooh.
Not exactly Chris Carter, Buddy Ryan type where, you know, he said all he does is catch touchdowns, but he catches a lot of them out of the times he touches the football. So that's the first segment. Want to, like I said, empty the clip. We're going to go ahead and pay these bills. Be right back with Chris Sanders. Stay tuned. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Oh, All right, you hear that. We fade the music out because we're going to go right to those intros. And now, starting at shooting guard, check that pointing guard for your Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, my goodness.
Number 10, Mookie Blaylock.
Why are you, Chris? And now, with his hit record, Bring the Noise. Flavor. Play.
Don't believe the hype.
What's up, man?
What's up, man?
Is the Tennessee Titans worth the hype, man?
They are worth the hype.
I agree.
I believe that they are worth the hype. This is the front-running team right now for the AFC Conference. They're 8-2. They have 7 victories against teams that made the playoffs last year. In fact, they're 7-0. That hasn't been done in quite some time. Check the internet. I have it posted somewhere what it is. I don't remember off the top, so you just had to look it up. But that being said, you got these games coming up on the schedule. Easy ones on paper. I asked Coach Vrabel about that, you know, and he said, I don't know who draws up the paper. But there's respect each and every week they go out there. I thought that was a good comment. But you got the Texans twice, right? You got the Jaguars. Yep. Now it's going to be an interesting game against the Patriots, interesting against the Steelers. I think this team should, at a minimum, finish 13-4.
Yeah.
Right? So that, in my opinion, should put them in the driver's seat to host the AFC. The road to L.A. goes through Nashville, if that's the case. But let's kind of rewind. And look at this game coming up. Before we got on, you kind of said that I think it's a whooping. You said you don't know about the offense specifically that the Texans bring. Let's talk about B. Cooks, man. What are your thoughts on him?
Man, he's a dog. I mean, just watching him, the way he runs routes, and, you know, even though he's not big in stature, you know, this dude is ruthless. This dude is tough, and he'll go over the middle and catch the ball. And I just look at this, you know, this Houston Texans team. In my opinion, they're not a 1-8 team. I know everybody, they're terrible, and it's a, you know, they don't play hard and all that stuff. That's hogwash. You got Tyrod Taylor, you got Brandon Cooks, you got Nico Collins, you got Amendola. I'm telling you, them are some dogs now. So the one thing that I'm concerned about a little bit is if the Tennessee Titans don't score no points, this Houston Texans team can score some points now.
Yeah, they can put some points on the board. And you mentioned Tyrod Taylor, you mentioned Brandon Cooks. Well, an interesting thing, right? 2 out of the 3 times they played together, Taylor targeted Cooks 14 times in those games. And I love how you brought up he's not the biggest in stature, but he's a dog. And that's one thing. My man is – man, like B. Cooks, like that's my guy, you know what I mean? And we've stood eye to eye, you and I. He can't stand eye to eye with me. Like he's smaller, but – yet you still see this guy out there on the field going up and snapping that ball out the air to use the term, he's climbing the ladder and high-pointing the football. And I think that's just remarkable for someone at his size to go out there and do that.
But you know who he reminds me of? And they're two different players, but they remind me of just their attitude is Derek Mason.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Derek Mason's not a big dude, but Derek Mason was tough. Derek Mason could run routes. Derek Mason was like, I don't care if you're a 6'5 corner, I'm breaking ankles. And that's the same thing with Cooks. Cook is like, okay, yep, I understand. I understand y'all got Jack Rabbit Jenkins. I understand y'all got Christian Foote. I understand y'all got some nice corners. But, hey, like T.I. said, I'm coming, big dog. That's exactly what it is, because I think sometimes we focus so much on the big receivers, the big Terrell Owens and, you know, Megatron and all these big and this and that. But Cooks is producing. I'm not saying like those guys, but he's producing some numbers. He's got 57 catches for 646 yards and 2 TDs. Those aren't bad stats at all, boss.
Nah, hey, listen. I got him on my fantasy lineup.
Man.
So forget what you heard. I know what he's doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he is definitely outstanding football.
Absolutely.
And for him to do what he did what's the quarterback? The long neck quarterback, man, Davis, dadgum, I don't remember his name.
Davis Mills.
Davis Mills, yeah. For him to do what he's doing with that guy throwing him the football, look, that just lets you know he's the truth.
Yes.
But it's not just Brandon Cooks.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Look at Amendola. Amendola's still there.
Amendola's nice now.
Yay. Okay. Let's break this down. Let's give the fans what they want. Now I understand this team is 1-8, but they're not going to come in here and lay down and say, okay, oh, you're the Tennessee Titans. You guys are 8-2 and we're 1-8. No, they're going to come in here and try to score some points, because if you look at the first, I think it was the first or second game when they were playing the Cleveland Browns. When Cleveland Browns were playing good at that time, they were putting the hands on Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, Tyrod Taylor got hurt, and then it changed up everything.
Yeah.
They brought him back, and they're going to come in here and fight. I'm not going to say that the Houston Texans are going to win, but it's going to be closer than what a lot of people think now.
You know, my big problem with this Texans team, and it's fitting that I'm saying this on Run TMC, they don't run the football well at all, man.
I know you got David Johnson, but
– David Johnson's like 74, I think. And I'm not talking about his speed and Madden. I'm talking about his age. Like, his body has really broken down to the point where he's like an old man out there. Philip Lindsay is cool and like a committee type of thing. Rex Burkhead, hey, you're not in New England anymore, so it's a different ball game for him as well. That's the thing that really is interesting to me, is that they can't run the football. So
right.
If I'm the Titans, I'm playing a lot of sub packages.
Absolutely.
But the one problem, right? Their dime package with Cruikshank as the dime backer was most effective against the run out of all their sub packages.
Mm-hmm.
Cruikshank's on IR. He's not walking through that door. So that's going to be interesting how they work that part of it. Oh, and by the way, David Long didn't practice on Wednesday. So now you have, okay, is it going to be the Monty Rice and Jayon Brown show again in nickel? Or, like, what are you going to do? And I think, you know, that's just going to be an interesting preposition, like how they're going to go against this Texans team.
Yeah, but I think the one thing they're going to do is make them earn the points on drives. I mean, because Tyrod Taylor and those guys want to, take the deep shots and score fast, but they're going to make you earn it, so he throws interceptions. But here's the deal. You got Amendola that, you throw those little quick screens and he gets 6 or 7 yards.
Yeah,
that's like a run. That's like a run.
Yeah.
So even though the running game is not, explosive and having those big runs, but at the end of the day, you got some receivers that can make some plays now. I mean, I don't know if Chris Conley's playing. I don't know if he's playing, but he's got a little stankness to him. So we can't go in here and the fans can't go in there and think, oh, they're 1-8, because you're going to look up and you're going to be like the Jacksonville Jaguars. Or the Buffalo Bills going against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Y'all got 6 points, and they got 9. And you're like, what the heck just happened? Because you cannot take a team lightly in the NFL these days.
Right, no doubt. And, here's the thing, Chris, that I really like about this Titans team in these type of situations.
Mm-hmm.
They already have their mulligan, right? Like every team, I'm going to give you a mulligan for the year. You know, they lost to the Jets. I'm like, dude, what the crap? Like, how – you know what I mean? But – that's your mulligan. And the thing that I really liked is in talking to Kevin Byard after the game and talking to Jeffrey Simmons after the – and I'm talking about the Saints game.
Right.
They brought up, well, we remember what happened with the Jets, and we're determined to not let that happen again. So that's a good thing. And even though these guys are pros, right, and they're elite athletes and elite minds as far as the game is, you know it because you were right in that status yourself. They're not going to – sometimes guys will, overlook and not take the best approach to a game. Fortunately, that Jets game is behind them, and that is one of those ones where they took their medicine, they get it, and I don't think that's going to happen again.
Yeah, I just think that we're going to find out, and I think we found out the last couple of weeks, that this Tennessee Titans team is a mature team. What
mm-hmm.
I think mature team is, they take every game and they respect their opponent, as opposed to, okay, we got the Texans, they're 1-8. No, we're going to go out there, we're going to do our job, because it's not about the Texans. It's not about the Jaguars. It's not about the Patriots. It's not about, those other teams. It's about what we do. And that's when I talk about a mature team. On offense, I know they're struggling a little bit, but the defense says, you know what, offense, hey, you guys are not doing all right, but guess what? We're
going to
take the leadership. We're going to take the role, and we're going to score points off of turnovers.
And you kind of led me right into what I want to talk about, right? Run TMC, so we got to talk about this rushing attack that the Titans have, all right? You got Deontay Foreman, you got Adrian Peterson, you got Jeremy McNichols. In my opinion, number 7, Foreman needs to be the back.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought in my lifetime I would say someone should be a running back over Adrian Peterson. Because, Chris, let me tell you, David, let me tell you, as far as favorite running backs are concerned,
mm-hmm.
Eric Dickerson,
yeah,
Adrian Peterson,
uh-huh.
Thurman Thomas,
yeah,
Roger Craig, Derrick Henry. Like, those are my favorite receivers. I'm not saying best, but those are my favorite. Adrian Peterson is my second favorite running back of all time. So, it takes a lot for me to say someone else should play in front of him, but, hey, you know what we do. We keep him 100. I think Foreman should be the back.
Oh, absolutely. But, see, here's the thing. He might not have the big numbers, but when you throw this guy a screen, that's just like a run. Yes. That's just like a run. I think he got a 39-yard scamper on the screen. So, he runs with a chip on his shoulder, man. I mean, he's a big dude. You remember that running back that used to play for the Buffalo Bills, Antoine, is it Saunders? I can't remember his last name.
Oh, Antoine Smith. Antoine 23 Smith. He wore. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I think he went to Houston.
He went to Houston. Big old dude. He kind of reminds me of him a little bit. Just a big, powerful, guy that he may not have the numbers, but he has the ability to run through somebody's face. So if you have the ability to run through somebody's face and just keep the chains moving, it's going to make your offense better. But, the one thing that I'm really proud about this Tennessee Titans team, and I know at the beginning of the season he was getting a bad rap, but it's Todd Downing, man. Let me tell you something. I watch what he did, and a lot of people don't understand or look at it and say, they just going to touch down. No, you got to look at what he did. What he did is he was going in multiple formations, went empty, and he knew that, okay, we're not going to throw the ball downfield because our offensive line is not, blocking to us. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get in the empty, and I'm going to run a pick route with Pruitt and Johnson. Johnson catches first pass for 50 yards. He gets open. That's not just your players. That's scheming somebody.
Exactly.
Hats off to Todd Downing.
Yeah, and you mentioned Foreman catching the football, right?
Yeah.
Well, without Derrick Henry, a lot of the focus is going to be on A.J. Brown. So what do? Yeah. They send him in motion. He kind of bows out, and then he runs to the right, and they look that way, but then they turn. You got the backside screen to Foreman. He catches it, and that's a nice gain.
Absolutely.
And these are the things that, can he get better on first and second down with, somebody? Yeah, of course. But, his name is Todd Downing, not Jesus Downing. So nothing is going to be perfect. You know what I'm saying? But I think we do need to focus on some of the good that he's bringing, because you are seeing a degree of creativity, right? That's everybody says, he's too predictable and he's this and he's that. But he's showing you some creativity as well. So that's really big. And, to your credit, you had mentioned using A.J. Brown out of the backfield.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah, so they did, but not directly getting him in the football, but using him to decoy so that other guys could come up. And I think that's the big thing. This Titans team down this stretch has to find somebody that will consistently week in and week out be like, look, man, I got you.
Yeah.
They don't have that right now, though. That's my problem. A.J., one catch, 16 yards.
Something's going on with A.J. Brown a little bit.
Yeah.
And I wish I would, I could find his number and call him, because, I just want to talk to him. Just relax and press. I know you got a lot on your plate, a lot going on, a lot of pressure, but just go out and be A.J. Brown.
I got you. Yeah. We'll make that connection.
We family, so, I want to help, my brother in the situation that's going on.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll definitely make that connection. Well, yeah, man, I appreciate you. Let's go
always,
ahead.
Always, big dog.
On the way out the door, I'm just going to ride through that. Come on now, Gregory Abbott. On the way out the door, you want to go ahead and give your prediction?
Let's go, baby. I am going with Tennessee Titans 31, Houston Texans 28.
And that one was brought to you by Soul Glow. Yo, we were stupid today, but I appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, man. You're my guy.
No doubt.
Appreciate ya.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD. Blah, blah. We made the impossible
look easy for she. All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You hear Scarface, so that means that we are definitely going down to H-Town, bringing my teammate, one of my favorite teammates, actually, Sarah Barship, ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter. Sarah has been working very hard on Deshaun Watson topic, so we're not going to get into that. We're going to talk football. I know that's what she wants to do, and that's what I want to do. So, Sarah, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am awesome. I appreciate you coming on. It's always a pleasure, and I'm glad that we get an opportunity to catch up. So I guess right from the top, I want to get into Brandon Cooks. And, I did my whiteboard video this week, and he obviously was the topic, and I feel like he is the lone bright spot in Houston when it comes to football, professional football, that is. So I guess I'll just ask you your experience, you know, how it's been dealing with Brandon Cooks and if you could kind of feel like the energy that he brought during training camp.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that he's one of the bright spots because, of course, that's true. But he, even before the Texans were losing, that was kind of how people in this locker room viewed him, right? Mm. He's, like, got such a leadership here. There's a reason they wanted him in Houston. You know, there are other teams who called before the trade deadline to try and trade for him. There was some interest. But the Texans knew he's someone they want to build around. And he's, you know, you think about DeAndre Hopkins with this team, had all these quarterbacks, kind of the quarterback carousel. Brandon Cook has kind of had to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Now through 3 weeks, you know, six quarters with Tyrod Taylor and six quarters with Davis Mills, he was off to the best start in franchise history for a receiver. And the offense as a whole has really just struggled since then. But if he's not getting the ball, if you look, a lot of time it's because teams are double-teaming him because they know that's really the only option that Davis Mills had. And so I'll be interested to see, because like I said, from training camp, you could kind of tell the energy and leadership he brought to the team. And as Tyrod Taylor kind of gets back into a groove, and, you know, I think no one wanted to blame Rust in week one, or in his week game, first game back against the Dolphins. But I do think we'll see some chemistry between the pair. And I think Sunday in Nashville might be one of those times that we see another big game from Cook.
It's funny you mentioned that chemistry because you look, right, Taylor started, what, three games? Two of those, he targeted Brandon Cooks 14 times. So do you definitely expect to see something along those lines, like double-digit targets?
I do. And especially as he gets more comfortable. Like you think back to week one, there were a couple balls he threw against Jacksonville, kind of jump balls to Cooks. Mm-hmm. And he threw them so well in a way, and we didn't see that so much in training camp or the preseason. We didn't really see a lot of deep threats from Tyrod Taylor. But in that first game, we saw two jump balls to Brandon Cooks. And I thought that was kind of a good sign for how the Texans wanted this offense to go. Because he threw them in the place only Cooks could get it. And I'll be interested to see with another game under Taylor's belt if we kind of see that this Sunday.
So what has gone wrong in your eyes with the offense? Because you mentioned how they had a pretty solid start and now it just, you know, kind of just went in the toilet, so to speak.
I think, the switch from Tyrod Taylor to Davis Mills,
gotcha.
Very different quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. One guy is in his 11th season. The other, you know, is a third-round pick. We've seen rookie quarterbacks struggle all over in the NFL this year, and some of those are first-round picks. This is a guy who the Texans didn't expect to start in week three, certainly. So I think that had a big – I mean, there's always injuries. And you know, covering the Titans, there's always injuries. But, you know, you kind of wonder. They're tied 14-14 at halftime in Cleveland before Tyrod got hurt. He actually got hurt on that, you know, tying touchdown. Mm-hmm. You just kind of wonder what this offense could have looked like if he had stayed healthy. So I think a lot of it had to do with the quarterback. But then also, there's just no running game.
Yeah.
You know, they traded Mark Ingram before the deadline. But even with him, he was their lead rusher. He might finish the season as still as their lead rusher. They really struggled on the ground, and I just think that didn't help Davis Mills' development at all. It was, you know, they weren't surprising defenses.
Sarah, what?
You know?
Yeah, got you. Sorry about that. What has gone wrong with Brevin Jordan? You know, he's a guy coming out of Miami. I thought he was a pretty solid tight end. I had him here on the show. You know, we talked shop, and he seemed to be on point. But, you know, he's behind a couple guys on the depth chart.
You know, it's interesting because David Culley, we asked him, you know, why is he inactive? What does he need to do to be on the active roster? And he just kind of said, you know, he's not ready. We've seen him practice. He's just not ready. Mm-hmm. And then he comes in, is active, and scores a touchdown. And we asked Culley, you know, what did he do to show that he's ready? And he was like, well, he showed in this game that, like, he was. And it kind of, not doubt, you know, but just, oh, maybe who do they have on this roster that isn't getting the opportunity? We kind of wondered that about Scotty Phillips, too, although is now on injured reserve. But this team has so many veteran players. They signed so many guys to short-term one-year, two-year contracts that you would have thought for a team kind of trying to rebuild, they would have gone the young talent route, and that's not what they did. And so I think it just has to do with the guys they have on the roster. And I'm curious if the mindset switches and shifts in the second half of the season, because they're certainly out of playoff contention. I mean, they're 1-8, and you wonder how beneficial it is to give some of these veteran players the snaps that maybe you could give a young guy like Brevin Jordan.
Yeah. Switching to the defense, Coach Vrabel, he spoke on Wednesday, and he said that, you know, this is a divisional game, but there are certainly newer pieces, and he pointed to the defense. For me, one of the newer pieces is Jonathan Greenard, and that guy is doing well, 7 sacks. So was he able to emerge, you know, out of Charles Amenihue's shadow? Like, how is he doing, you know, now that Amenihue is not there? Because it's, what, been 2 weeks now that Amenihue's been gone?
Yeah, and he's another guy. He was inactive he was a healthy scratch for the first 2 weeks. Now, he did have an injury during training camp.
Gotcha.
I think set him back a little bit, but he's another guy that he just wasn't even given the chance to play. And then he didn't have a sack last week, but then I believe before that he had 7 sacks in 6 games. And so I think it's just a position there. It's actually probably the position they had the most competition at. That's something they talked about a lot during the offseason, during training camp, is wanting to have this competition. And I think that was a position where they had some young talent, like you mentioned, Charles Amenihue. And so I think part of it was that, just having more playing time. But he's a guy that the Texans have, you know, there are very few impact players on this team. But he's got to be a guy that Texans look at and say, okay, maybe we can build around him on defense.
How about Desmond King? I'm not sure if you guys got to talk to him at all this week yet, but if you did, what's he saying? Is he, you know, looking forward to facing the Titans? I know he only spent weeks here, but is he looking forward to facing his old team?
We haven't gotten to talk to him, but I'm hoping this week, because I think, you know, one thing you miss with the locker room being gone,
yeah,
you kind of lose your opportunity to kind of just have those conversations.
Right.
Maybe not at the podium, but just hear, you know, just kind of ask that kind of stuff. So I will be curious to see what he says, because there are some interesting connections. I mean, obviously, it's a very different coaching staff here, too. But, you know, a lot of people point to Vrabel and say, oh, man, maybe this defense does not look as bad as they do if, you know, Tennessee hadn't hired Mike Vrabel away.
Yeah, how about that? But there are some bright spots on the defense, though. We mentioned Greenard. Vrabel actually said that Desmond King, you know, is a really good player at corner. What about Justin Reed? You know, he's probably my favorite player that the Texans have on defense. And how has he been just through all of this, right? Because, you know, here it is, a quality player, a guy who was there when the team was winning, and now he's stuck in this muck right now. Like, how has he been this year dealing with all this?
You know, it's funny, because much like Brandon Cooks, who is kind of the face of his side of the ball and does press conferences with us almost every week and kind of is asked to speak kind of as the face of the team, that's Justin Reed on the defensive side. And we talked to him quite a bit.
Hmm.
And I was wondering if he was a guy that the Texans would try to re-sign. Now, I think it's pretty clear that it's not going to happen, at least not during the season. But he's handled it well. I think the defense started off, at least with Lovie Smith, emphasizing takeaways. And we thought, maybe this is a defense that is a lot better than the team last year that only forced 9 takeaways. And as the season's gone on, it's pretty clear that that's not it. But he seems, I don't know, they've moved again. Lonnie Johnson moved from cornerback to safety, back to quarterback, and David Culley was telling us about that today. So Justin Reed just talked about, you know, there's been no continuity since he's been here.
Yeah.
That's probably another example he looks to and says, you know, what's going on here?
The culture there, and we're talking to Sarah Barsup, ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter. Sarah, the culture, right? You know, 1-8. A new head coach. I mean, it's got to be tough for Coach Culley to really get his mindset, right? His points in there with this team losing. So I want to ask you, just from a culture perspective, what you've been able to see, how has that transition gone, right, from the previous staff to David Culley?
I think it was a little different because the Texans fired Bill O'Brien after 4 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the majority of the season last year is with an interim coaching staff, but Romeo Crennel is still on the staff, still very involved. So I think it's the transition has been more of the fact that Bill O'Brien was the GM and now they have Nick Caserio. It's not the same person overseeing all of personnel. But culture is a word that's thrown around a lot here. And it's, you know, after they won the first game, it's kind of like, and I admit we all fell into this trap of, wow, this culture's working. Look at this. Or, you know, a scrappy team, this veteran team. Maybe they will win more games than we thought this year. And I think you really get a sense of what culture is when you're losing. And now that's yes. another thing that, you know, we're not in the locker room. I would love to be in the locker room to kind of talk to players and see how they feel. Because at the podium, I think it's very easy for players to say the right thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, yeah, no, we're not. You know, because it keeps getting point. You know, the important thing is that we don't point fingers at each other. The important thing is that we don't fall apart in the locker room, because right now that's all we have when you only have one win. And so, again, 1-8, there's not much. I mean, there's still a lot of football left. I'll be interested to see what happens as we get towards the end of the season and with maybe one or two wins still then.
Yeah, no doubt. Two more games against the Titans. Give my Titans listeners on the way out here your parting shot. Give my listeners just a reason, if you could find one reason why they should be somewhat concerned and not think that this is just going to be a walk in the park on Sunday.
I didn't realize I was just looking at the numbers of what the defense is allowing in the passing game. And I also saw that Brandon Cooks, this is my bold prediction, a spoiler alert. The last time they played, Cooks had 161 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Titans. So I think with Tyrod Taylor in a little bit of a groove, you know, now that he's gotten one start under his belt, came back from the injury, I think Brandon Cooks could have another big game and maybe put a scare in the Titans.
There you have it right there. Hey, listen. I'm not going to dispute that one, because Brandon Cooks is definitely a baller, and you know what you're talking about with this team. So, Sarah, I really appreciate you. If you're coming, you are coming up here on.
I am.
Okay, great, great. We'll definitely have to connect, and if you need anything, let me know, and I look forward to seeing you.
Of course. Thanks for having me on.
All right, appreciate it. So that was Sarah Barship. Shout out to her for coming on. ESPN NFL Nation Texans reporter. Shout out to Chris Sanders as well, coming in and making this work. And shout out to my DJ. I'm the rapper. He's the DJ. Dave, appreciate you coming on.
Always.
Definitely make sure you guys stay tuned. ESPN.com. Do me a favor. Click that Teams page. Click that Titans page and follow that. All kinds of work on there. Whiteboard Wednesday. Stay tuned to that. Talking with TD. Google Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, everywhere you get your premier podcast. Rate, yeah. Review. Subscribe first. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.